Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
global stocks rebound after the sell-off in U.S. equities.
Trade is front and center following fresh remarks from President Trump.
We will make a great deal with China, and it has to be great.
And earnings rumble on with results from GE and Facebook on tap.
President Trump travels to Pittsburgh today after the deadly shootings at a synagogue. Plus, U.S. troops are heading to the southern border to stop Central American migrants. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat the Nets at the Garden. A record-setting win for the Warriors. Monday Night Football saw the Patriots win in Buffalo.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
U.S. futures are following stocks in Europe and Asia higher this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up 11 points. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 3.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33%, or 21 cents, to $66.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2%, or $2, to $12.25.60. Announced. The euro, $1.1375, the yen, 112.81. And this update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, stocks in Asia reversed earlier losses today after remarks from President Trump on his trade dispute with China.
I think that we will make a great deal with China, and it has to be great because they've drained our country. We have really helped rebuild China. They've taken up, they've been taking out an average of $500 billion a year for many years. Not going to happen anymore.
Stocks in China rose following that interview with Fox News as investors see a hint of optimism in the president's confidence a deal will be reached.
Asian equities began the day with losses after Bloomberg News learned the White House is preparing to announce tariffs on all remaining Chinese imports if talks next month between President Trump and Xi Jinping fail to ease the trade war. Bloomberg's Mark Cranfield says Mr. Trump's remarks seem to have softened the blow of that news.
People are saying the fact that he's even discussing or even thinking about a deal, it might be a great deal from the United States point of view, but at least it's a potential for a deal, which certainly recently has looked as though it wasn't even on the table at all.
At the same time, China's currency hit its weakest level in a decade, inching closer to the key psychological level of 7 per dollar.
Still, the end result was a positive day for equities in Asia. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has details from Hong Kong.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 in China rose more than 1% as securities regulators address market concerns, saying stock buybacks and M&A will support the market. Auto stocks also gained after sources told Bloomberg policymakers were considering a tax cut to revive the auto sector. The Nikkei ended the day up close to 1.5% higher, and the Kospi snapped out of 5 days of losses. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Yvonne. The euro is heading for its biggest monthly loss since May after Angela Merkel's announcement she won't seek re-election as German chancellor. That's opening up the race for her successor as head of the Christian Democratic Party. Bloomberg's Chad Thomas reports from Berlin.
Some people who have stepped forward for that position is Merkel's general secretary for the Christian Democratic Union. She is a close Merkel ally, and should she manage to get that job, in theory, then Merkel would be able to potentially hang on longer as chancellor. There have been, though, two rivals who stepped forward. One of them is Friedrich Merz. He's a former BlackRock executive. And also Jens Spahn, who's the current health minister. Both of them are seen as rivals to Merkel. And should one of them win that position, it seems that it would be much more difficult for Merkel to hang on as chancellor. Chad Thomas, Bloomberg News, Berlin.
All right, Chad, thank you. Turning to earnings now, shares of Volkswagen are up 3% after third quarter profit beat estimates. VW sticking to its full year guidance as strong results from the Porsche brand stem the fallout from trade tensions.
BP is reporting a surge in profit that blew away estimates. Adjusted net income was the highest since 2012. That is, shares of BP higher by 3%.
Shares of BNP Paribas are down 3% after its earnings report. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. For a sixth straight quarter, BNP Paribas experienced a steep decline in fixed income trading. If you include less than estimated revenue from equity trading, BNP's global markets business posted its second worst quarterly revenue since early 2016. Lars McNeil is the firm's chief executive officer.
I mean, we at the bank, we are focused on the activities mainly in Europe, let's be fair. And the fixed income in Europe has been lackluster.
The bond trading gloom complicates BNP's plans to meet 2020 targets. Its shares have lost almost a quarter of their value this year. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. General Electric and Facebook headlines the list of 45 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. We get results from GE about 90 minutes from now. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a preview.
Analysts will be listening for GE's new CEO Lawrence Culp's initial review and strategies to turn the company around, and that will likely take precedence over third quarter earnings and the 2018 outlook. Cash and balance sheet concerns, dividend sustainability, and the status of asset dispositions will be the focus of the CEO's debut conference call after earnings. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Results from Facebook come out after the close of U.S. trading. Paul Sweeney is director of North American Research for Bloomberg Intelligence.
This company desperately needs a great quarter coming up here. So the street's looking for another 35% growth in revenue. But I think what people need is they need a solid beat this quarter, and they need a strong revenue outlook with modest expense growth to get this story back on track, because it has really fallen off the rails here.
The shares of Facebook are down about 35% since the company's last earnings report. Futures pointing to a higher open. S&P futures up 9 points, or 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by 52, a gain of 0.2%. NASDAQ futures up 0.4%, or 28 points. This is Bloomberg. Now for a look at the rest of what's going on around the world, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump will travel to Pennsylvania today following an attack at a synagogue. A gunman killed 11 people on Saturday at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Trump had said that an armed guard at the temple could have saved lives. Pittsburgh Mayor Democrat Phil Baduto.
I don't think that the answer to this problem is solved by having our synagogues, mosques, and churches filled with armed guards. We should try to stop irrational behavior from happening at the forefront.
The suspected shooter, Robert Bowers, made his first court appearance yesterday to face charges. A judge in Miami denied bail for Cesar Sayoc, the man accused of sending pipe bombs through the mail to prominent Democrats and critics of President Trump. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says Democrats must share the blame for the increased negative rhetoric.
These same Democrats have repeatedly attacked the president, whether it was Eric Holder saying kick them when they're down, whether it was Hillary Clinton saying you can't be civil until Democrats have control of Congress, or whether it was Maxine Waters who encouraged her supporters to get up, not just in the president's face, but all administration officials' faces. Those actions are from those Democrats. The president's going to continue to fight back.
It's a troubling signal for Republican chances in next week's midterm elections. According to Gallup polling, President Trump's job approval rating plunged 4 points last week amid a wave of violence. President Trump is sending about 5,200 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border as Central American migrants are moving north in Mexico. Trump tweeted, "This is an invasion of our country and our military is waiting for you." Divers are in the Java Sea searching for evidence as to why a Lion Air jet crashed off the coast of Indonesia. Bloomberg's Carlos Salna is in Jakarta.
Indonesian authorities say they expect all 189 people aboard a passenger jet that crashed in the sea near the capital Jakarta have perished, as questions are being asked about how a brand new plane fell from the sky. The Lion Air Boeing 737, which had flown for just 800 hours, crashed Monday. It had reported technical issues during a trip from Bali to Jakarta the day before. The crash, potentially the worst air disaster for Indonesia in 2 decades, has also rekindled concerns about air safety in a country whose airlines for years were judged too dangerous to fly over Europe.
In Jakarta, Carlos Salna, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, expected to be long seasons yet again for the Knicks and Nets. Already the second meeting of the season between them. The Nets early on won at Barclays. Last night, Knicks won easily at the Garden, 115-96, their first victory since opening night. Ends a five-game skid. Tim Hardaway, 25 points, 8 assists. Frank Ntilikina scored 16. Enes Kanter with 15, with 15 rebounds. Both the Knicks and Nets are now 2-5. The Warriors are 7-1 for the two-time defending NBA champs. Last night in Chicago was impressive, even by their standards. One player in particular, Klay Thompson, only on the court for 27 minutes. He scored 52 points and made 14 three-pointers. That's an NBA record. He broke the record set by his teammate, Steph Curry. Golden State had 92 on the board by halftime, then took the foot off the gas a bit. Beat the Bulls 149-124. Monday Night Football in Buffalo, New England, as expected, won 25-6, the Patriots' fifth straight win. Cleveland Browns stuck with Coach Hugh Jackson through two seasons where he won a total of one game. Midway through this season, the Browns have two wins and a tie, but Jackson got fired along with offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Jackson and Haley had been feuding, so owner Jimmy Haslin fired them both. He said the Browns are rebooting. So are the Mets with a new general manager, former agent Brody Van Wagenen, will be introduced at Citi Field today. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And in other sports news, a possible blow to fantasy sports in New York. A judge has ruled a 2016 law that allows and regulates daily fantasy sports violates the gambling ban in New York's Constitution. The ruling was a response to a lawsuit filed by anti-gambling organizations. Its immediate impact is unclear. S&P futures 7 points higher, a gain of nearly 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by 38. That's a 0.1% gain. NASDAQ futures up by 19 points. That is a gain of about 0.25%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are reversing an earlier gain, even as U.S. futures and Asian equities rebounded, as traders turn their focus to a slew of company results and the chances of a trade deal between the U.S. and China. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany's down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 3.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 32 cents to $66.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2% or $1.90 to $12.25.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1375. The yen, 112.73. About 45 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include GE, Coca-Cola, Facebook, and eBay. And today we are watching for a report on home prices out at 9 o'clock Wall Street time. Consumer confidence is out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Two brothers who were killed in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting will be mourned at one of the first funerals to follow the massacre. Funerals are set for today for Cecil and David Rosenthal and two of the other 11 victims, Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz and Daniel Stein. President Trump and the First Lady plan to visit Pittsburgh today. Republican Senator Ted Cruz's lead is narrowing over Democratic challenger Beto O'Rourke among likely voters in Texas. According to a new Quinnipiac University poll, Cruz is ahead 51-46%, down 9 percentage points from an October 11th poll. In Monday Night Football, the Patriots down the Bills 25-6. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Nets 115-96. The Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As the markets try to make sense this morning about the shifting rhetoric when it comes to the U.S.-China trade dispute, we're joined by Kit Jukes. He's global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Always good to get your insights, Kit. And I'm looking at offshore yuan right now at 696.94, kind of off earlier lows, but getting, touching that seven handle. What is the prospect of the yuan hitting seven against the dollar?
I think, it'll happen in due course. I mean, bear in mind, we went from, 640 to 694, something like that, in 2 months over the summer. So it's taken us another 2.5 months to make this little move up three more figures. So we're going there. We're going there slowly. I think, received wisdom is that the Chinese authorities don't like the market to think that it's a one-way bet. So after they've had a big move, they like a period of consolidation. And on that basis, that they don't want to make people to make easy money. So, going short the yuan costs money for people trading it. So if it goes up really slowly, that won't bother them. But on the current rate of progress, somewhere around Thanksgiving Day, we'll slide through.
You think it'll be that soon?
I honestly don't know. I mean, if you'd asked me a week ago, I'd have said surely, from what we've seen of the Chinese in the past, that they favor a longer period of stability and that this would be a story for the first quarter of next year. But look, I think it's inevitable in the medium run. I think that it's a sensible move for the Chinese authorities. It depends a little bit what the data do, but I will not be surprised if we just grind there. We're very good in my profession at explaining after the event why someone did what they did. We're with the Chinese authorities who don't give us all the forward guidance we get from the Fed or from the ECB. We are slightly guessing what their policy is. We're going to get through. My best bet might be early in the new year, but anytime from Thanksgiving onwards.
So what data specifically are you going to be looking at in terms of where this currency pair heads?
Well, I think this week is an accident of calendar for us with the labor market report on Friday. But because last year the hurricanes Irma and Harvey meant some folks didn't get paid in the United States, we saw a fall in the monthly average hourly earnings series in October 2017. So this time around, if we get a regular increase, we're going to get an acceleration in wage growth. And in the last 6 months, you've had 4.3s and 2.2s on the monthly data. Throw in a 0.2, we're at 3% for average hourly earnings. Anything above that is more of a shock. So as the Phillips curve comes back to life and wage growth picks up, the pressure's on the Federal Reserve to go on raising rates despite the volatility in financial markets. That's a recipe, the kind of thing that could give the dollar another lift higher, particularly if the euro's woes continue. Then I think, why would the Chinese intervene heavily to prevent their currency going with the global flow against a strong dollar?
And if we do continue to see dollar strength, I mean, we have seen some pretty significant dollar strengthening in the last few days. What will that mean for emerging market currencies?
Emerging markets do not like a strong dollar. I mean, it's almost as simple as that. You look through the past periods where the Fed's got easy policies, the balance sheet's growing, and money is flowing out of the United States looking for somewhere exciting to go. That's a good world for emerging markets. At this point in time, with a global economic cycle that's just beginning to roll over with trade tensions, there's plenty on the plate for emerging market investors, and a stronger dollar just adds to that. So they won't enjoy it.
And if we continue to see a further flattening of the yield curve, what are your expectations in terms of the outlook for a recession?
Well, look, I think the yield curve inverts at the peak of the economic cycle, at the peak of the interest rate cycle. So I think it's, I'm not sure there's a causality from an inverted curve to a recession, but the U.S. economic cycle is rolling over. We're close to, the turn down in terms of the cycle, and I think that's coming. I think that what will be more significant is this Fed, like previous Feds, who can see that we've had an inverted curve before previous recessions, they will be wary about plowing on with rate hikes as the curve inverts. But either way, though, what we're set for is a period of, at best, a really, really flat curve for a pretty long time.
thanks for this. As always, Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning as we take a forward look at the markets, starting to see a mixed picture now with S&P futures little changed, up just 2 points. Dow futures, very little change at all. NASDAQ futures now pointed lower. They are down 12 points. That's a drop now of 0.2%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Tuesday morning on Bloomberg Radio. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit uscfinvestments.com. That's uscfinvestments.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are trimming their gains. They were higher for much of the morning, while stocks in Asia halt a five-day slump as President Trump holds out the possibility of a trade deal with China.
I think that we will make a great deal with China, and it has to be great because they've drained our country.
Stocks in China rose following that interview with Fox News as investors see a hint of optimism in the president's confidence that a deal will be reached.
On the earnings front, shares of BP are up more than 3%. Profit at the oil company easily topped estimates, and net income was the highest in 6 years.
Shares of BNP Paribas are down 3%, France's biggest lender posting steep declines for fixed income trading in the third quarter.
Well, shares of Volkswagen are up 3%. The automaker reiterated its goals for the year as robust results from Porsche helped stem the fallout from trade tensions.
Sony upgraded its earnings outlook for a second straight quarter thanks to hit video game titles that are boosting the PlayStation business.
And here in the U.S., Coca-Cola, Pfizer, General Electric, and Facebook lead 45 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. We get a Facebook preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Facebook is nearing the end of its toughest year as a public company. Ahead of the results, analysts are hoping the news can't get any worse. The social media giant is expected to report third-quarter revenue of $13.8 billion, up 34% from a year ago, according to analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. 3 months ago, Facebook stunned Wall Street with a second-quarter revenue miss and a warning that growth would slow while spending rises. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And Italy's economy stalled in the third quarter on weakness in the industrial sector. Economic growth was unchanged, down from growth of 0.2% in the second quarter. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are higher once again. They did trim their gains for just a bit. Now S&P futures are up 4 points again. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures lower, down 7. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 3.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 34 cents to $66.70 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 0.2% or $2.10. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There are mixed responses to today's planned visit to Pittsburgh by President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump after Saturday's synagogue massacre in which 11 worshipers were killed. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Announcing the president's intention to express the support of the American people and grieve with Pittsburgh, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders declared anti-Semitism is a plague to humanity, and she rejected criticism that Trump's rhetoric is polarizing and bears some responsibility for unrest in the country.
The very first thing the media did was blame the president and make him responsible for these ridiculous acts. That is outrageous that would be the very first reaction.
The president's visit, though, is proving to be polarizing. Former synagogue president Lynette Lederman doesn't want him there.
Because
He's the purveyor of hate speech.
Rabbi Jeffrey Myers, on the other hand, says he'll welcome the president. Trump plans to meet with relatives of the victims. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A Florida judge denied bail for Cesar Sayoc, the man accused of sending pipe bombs to prominent Democrats around the country. The Pentagon says it is sending about 5,200 troops to the southwest border to stop Central American migrants traveling north in caravans through Mexico. President Trump told Fox News the administration will build tent cities for those seeking asylum.
We're going to put tents up all over the place. We're not going to build structures and spend all of this, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. We're going to have tents. They're going to be very nice, and they're going to wait. And if they don't get asylum, they get out.
President Trump's final campaign push ahead of congressional elections all but gives up on maintaining Republican control of the U.S. House and instead concentrates on promoting turnout in conservative areas for competitive Senate and governor's races. Trump plans to skip competitive House districts in an itinerary of 11 rallies in 8 states, according to a person familiar with his plans. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks very much. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashow.
Nathan, new Knicks coach David Fizdale has the youngest team in the NBA. He's been preaching up tempo, better defense. Wasn't thrilled with what he saw during a 5-game losing streak. A lot happier last night after the Knicks beat the Nets at the Garden, 115-96.
They took it to heart how hard you have to compete to get a win and how you cannot, you just can't take a nap during pockets of the game. This league is too good. These teams will bomb you out of the building, and they did. We gave up a 45 and a 47-point quarter. During that last stretch. So those are good lessons for our team, and I was glad to see us come out with the win tonight.
Tim Hardaway, 25 points. Both the Knicks and Nets are 2-5. For Golden State, a 149-124 win at Chicago. The Warriors had 92 points on the board by halftime. Klay Thompson scored 52 points. He made an NBA record 14 three-pointers. He shot 14 of 24 on threes, and he broke the record previously held by his teammate Steph Curry. He did this still in the third quarter. Thompson only played 27 minutes. Monday Night Football, the cap week 8. The only surprise was it took the Patriots until the fourth quarter to score a touchdown. They got one on offense, and then a Devin McCourty 84-yard interception returned 4 Steven Gaskowski field goals. The Pats won their 5th in a row, 25-6 in Buffalo. First coach to be fired this season, Hugh Jackson in Cleveland with the Browns. 1-31 over the previous two seasons. They're 2-5-1 this year. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams takes over. 44-year-old Brody Van Wagenen taking over control of the Mets. The new general manager to be introduced today. No previous front office experience. Van Wagenen has been working on the other side as an agent. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks very much. You're coming up on 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the unsolved murder of an unusual billionaire in Canada. Also in this week's issue, how Facebook is failing to learn from its growing pains. Sarah Fryer wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Facebook has grown to this level without really thinking about the consequences and not fixing problems until there were problems.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. Tom's Capital and Noam Gottesman are being sued for $34 million by a real estate investor who claims the billionaire undermined their joint plans to redevelop a Manhattan warehouse. Harry Jeremias claims that Gottesman sabotaged plans to acquire and redevelop the property to protect his own neighboring townhouse. Coca-Cola Bottling of Northern New England will invest nearly $23 million in its East Hartford plant and $42 million in a new sales center. Documents obtained by the Hartford Courant show the new warehouse will be built on 25 acres in South Windsor. Well, as of yesterday, all New Jersey's solar renewable energy certificate applications will have a lifespan of 10 years. That's according to an order from the State Board of Public Utilities that clarifies language in the 2018 Clean Energy Act, which inferred that the 10-year term applied only to projects seeking connection to the distribution system. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks very much. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. BP reported a surge in profit that smashed estimates with net income the highest since 2012.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing shares slid on news of the first crash involving its 737 MAX 8, but investors aggressively snapped up the company's bonds.
I'm August Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how U.S. passport holders will be given permission to jump the queue at Heathrow Airport.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on earnings for the once mighty, now leaner and meaner General Electric.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on WTIC in Hartford, we're talking about the latest quarterly results from health insurer Aetna.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler is expected to report positive earnings today.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, Jeff Bezos has set a record, but not quite the one perhaps he was looking for. The Amazon founder lost $19.2 billion over the past two trading days, lost that much money. That is the most ever in that span of time, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Bezos still has a fortune of $128 billion, but that's down from a peak of $167.7 billion early last month. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg held the previous record. That was set in July when the social media company reported revenue and user growth that missed estimates, and that lopped $16.5 billion from his fortune. Futures contracts are mixed at the moment. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are lower. U.S. stock index futures are higher. Traders turning their focus to a slew of company results in the next phase of a trade standoff between the U.S. and China. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany's down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 3.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 33 cents to $66.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2 to $12.25.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1372, the yen, 112.78. And 45 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include GE, Coca-Cola, Facebook, and eBay. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump plans to sign an executive order that would remove the right to citizenship for babies of non-citizens and unauthorized immigrants born on U.S. soil. That's according to remarks from the president made in an interview with Axios. President Trump and the First Lady will travel to Pittsburgh today to meet with people who responded to the synagogue shooting and with community leaders. A gunman killed 11 people when he walked into the Tree of Life Synagogue and opened fire. The White House says the president's daughter, Ivanka, and her husband, Jared Kushner, will join Trump on the trip. On Monday Night Football, the Patriots down the Bills 25-6. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Nets. The Warriors won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where we're coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That's our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now in our London Bureau by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor. Good morning, Ed. Britain's hottest stock falls back down to earth. So writes Chris Bryant. Of which stock does he speak?
This is Victoria. No British stock has delivered better returns for investors over the past decade than Victoria. It actually supplies rugs to Queen Elizabeth II, among other customers. But a profit warning on Monday brought this magic carpet ride back down to earth and gave investors really a textbook example of the risk of backing companies with a penchant for growing through acquisitions. This is a company that has really used the roll-up strategy to expand over recent years. Now, in a trading update timed to coincide with its inaugural €450 million bond offering, Victoria warned that margins are being squeezed in the UK and continental Europe. These are markets where it had spent heavily over the past 12 months to acquire several tile companies. Investors recoiled, sending the stock down 25%. And the shares are now down almost 50% from their peak in May. Among the losers, Invesco, the money manager, had lifted its stake in the company to almost 20% over the past year. By contrast, some of the short sellers that increased their bearish bets against the company are all sitting pretty. The problem here is really the strategy. With markets as volatile as they are, companies that rely on debt and an ever-inflating stock price to fund deals need to execute flawlessly and hope that economic fundamentals don't trip them up. If profits disappoint, investors can start to doubt the wisdom of these roll-up strategies and then run swiftly for the exits. And Victoria here is a case in point. It has purchased more than a dozen businesses since 2013, all part of an idea to diversify its footprint and its products. But this isn't flooring isn't a high growth business. And so the more than 6,000% return the company's generated for shareholders always felt a little incongruous here.
All right. And talking about commentary on breaking news, Alex Webb's already weighing in on the new tech tax that UK Chancellor of the Exchequer Philip Hammond just announced. He's calling it both pointless and essential. How's that square?
Call it political grandstanding because it is. Call the proceeds insubstantial because they will be. But the levy announced in the budget will be an important step to ensuring that the tech industry is taxed effectively. To recap, the government's going to introduce a levy from April 2020 that will apply to the digital services offered by tech companies which make revenue of at least £500 million a year. In short, people like Facebook and Google. The problem here is that the tax system hasn't been able to keep pace with many of the way that many of the world's biggest companies make their money. Tech firms have been able to allocate where they book profits in the most tax advantageous way to them, depriving governments of billions of pounds of revenue. And the government response has been slow. The OECD has been working on this issue for 5 years, but even so, the fruits of its efforts aren't likely to be borne before 2020, when it promises to deliver a final report and implementing any proposals will take several more years. Now, a multilateral solution would, of course, be much better. A scattergun approach by individual countries means that companies could be taxed on the same income twice. But Hammond's unilateral action, if it sends the Silicon Valley's lobbyists to Capitol Hill demanding an international accord, then so much for the better.
Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans. Read more on these and other stories at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg Terminal. Type OPIN. Go. Karen.
Well, Nathan, it's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady, Republican from Texas, wants the Senate to use the fast-track budget process known as reconciliation to pass a second round of tax cuts if Republicans keep their majority in Congress. The IRS says it will act to curb practices that let taxpayers skirt laws, limiting the amount of pay that can be contributed to 401k retirement plans. And a death row inmate wanted to be executed, but a lawyer, not his lawyer, wanted to save him. The U.S. Supreme Court Monday effectively took the inmate's side and permitted the execution to go forward.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at charges facing Robert Bowers, the shooter who killed 11 people in an anti-Semitic act of violence at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Jim Grosso speaks with Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid PLC.
Brad, tell us about the federal civil rights laws against hate crimes in the context of the charges here.
Sure. So the context, the way the Congress crafted these specific federal criminal provisions is it allows the prosecutors to take what would otherwise be a state crime, a local domestic crime of, you know, committing a murder, and bring it to a federal level under the federal legal system, and adding an additional element of proof that the government has to demonstrate that it was done for the particular and specific purpose of a hate crime, of doing it not just because you didn't like the person, but because you particularly hated their race, their ethnicity, their religion, something along those lines. So it adds an additional factual burden for prosecutors, of course, but by creating this criminal provision, what Congress did was it gave the federal prosecutors the ability to bring these crimes and to keep it separate from what state laws might otherwise craft when it comes to limits on the death penalty. And that's why, obviously, it appears that the federal prosecutors are going to seek the death penalty for Mr. Bowers, even though under certain state laws he might otherwise not have been subject to it because of moratoriums.
So the ultimate decision for seeking the death penalty rests with U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Would you explain the process, what prosecutors are going through now, what's being considered?
Sure. So they'll consider a number of factors. They'll consider the nature of the crime, obviously, and the evidence they have of it being specifically done for the purpose of murdering people based on their religion and ethnicity, things along those lines. But they also then have to factor in and consider in the entirety of their analysis the person's background, his mental health, the interest of public policy, things along those lines. Because in the end, even if, you know, they succeed at trial and he's convicted on these counts, there's a separate penalty stage. And this is where the government prosecutors will then have to convince the jury not just that he was guilty, which they would have already concluded of these various counts, but that the nature of the offense and the factual circumstances of these murders justifies the ultimate punishment, justifies putting this person to death.
And that's Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
Karen, 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETF that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at OppenheimerFunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
There's a warning from J.P. Morgan Chase that says $7.4 trillion in assets that are managed by passive funds around the world, that could really blow up if stocks sell off. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, is here with more. Should we be afraid?
Yes and no. Typically, these kind of concerns of blow up, ETFs aren't a systemic risk, at least as far as I've studied them, and they've lived through a lot of market spasms and sell-offs. I think what they're getting at, though, is something that is true, which is ETFs follow active. Active like, say, Facebook. The market cap gets bigger, and therefore it gets bigger weightings in ETFs. So the ETF sort of provides a tailwind to the buying. If active starts selling Facebook and it gets a smaller market cap, the ETF will have to sell a little too.
It's like an accelerator.
Exactly. It's a little bit of an amplifier or tailwind up or down. That is true. But I don't see it as, like, you know, potentially blowing the market up.
Thanks very much, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. That's the Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 15. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.